Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The implications of the so-called Equality Act are staggering in every area of our lives. We've been talking about it on this program. Certainly, there's a lot of support on the Democratic side of the U.S. House, but I believe we can and we must stop this in the Senate. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Well, since our last program, the White House has now weighed in through a high-level administration official issuing a statement saying the following: the Trump administration absolutely opposes discrimination of any kind and supports the equal treatment of all. However, this bill, in its current form, is filled with poison pills that threaten to undermine parental and conscience rights, close quote. So it looks like, Matt, that the president certainly is not in favor of this current bill, but at the end of the day, we don't want to have to rely upon a veto. There's overwhelming support as it worked its way through the House because there's a 38-seat or so majority Democrat versus Republican makeup in the House. On the Senate side, it's going to be a closer call. All the Democrats likely will line up, including a handful, maybe one or two Republicans. But the real battle is going to be to stop it at the filibuster level, in which they will need 60 votes. This bill is dangerous. We have been talking about it for a number of weeks because it presents such a huge threat to religious liberty in all areas of our life.
Yeah, and it's encouraging that the Trump administration has signaled a veto stopgap here if it gets that far. But you're absolutely right. It needs to die on the vine in the Senate. This is the most dangerous attack on religious liberty we've seen in American history. And it's absolutely draconian, and it would completely wipe away our First Amendment religious free exercise. And, you know, Vice President Mike Pence, as you know, recently gave a commencement address at Liberty University.
Oh, that was one great.
One of the things he said, throughout most of American history, it's been pretty easy to call yourself Christian. It didn't even occur to people that you might be shunned or ridiculed for defending the teachings of the Bible, but things are different now. And, you know, Ted Lieu, Senator, I believe, Ted Lieu said, he tweeted, "I'm a Christian. I don't shun you for defending your interpretation of the Bible." Nice how he threw that in there. "I shun you for using it to justify discrimination, such as against Americans who happen to be LGBT. That's one reason the House is passing the Equality Act. It's about love, not hate." So they use their euphemistic language. No. The Equality Act is about hate and discrimination against Christians. There can be no question whatsoever. It's a blatant violation and would, again, do away with our First Amendment free exercise of religion. This is so dangerous. It has to be smothered with a pillow, if you will, at the Senate level.
Yeah, and Ted Lieu is in the U.S. House of Representatives. State senator in California, and he's the one who was behind the bill that ultimately passed in California that banned counseling to anyone that's a minor and their families seeking to overcome, change, reduce, eliminate unwanted same-sex attractions and gender confusion. Same individual. Radical proposals by him of the LGBT agenda. But Holly, recently there's a survey regarding how people think. I don't know all the demographics where they got this, but this is a Rasmussen survey regarding what people think about whether men should be allowed to compete in women's athletic competitions.
Yeah, it says that I think found that 23% of the voters believe that a person born as a male but identifying as a female, so it's a male, a man, should be allowed to compete in women's competitive sports. And of course, we've talked about this before on previous programs. It's just, absurd. A man does not compete against a woman and vice versa. He would totally crush a woman. He would totally crush any records that she sets.
Well, and that's good news that there's 75%+ of the people that are opposed to having a man compete in the women's athletic competition. It's amazing that there's even 23% that would say it's okay.
I know, but even the data says that 63% of voters believe there are only two genders, male and female. 63%.
63%. Yeah. I mean, good grief. Look around, people. I mean, it's pretty obvious. If you can't get that simple concept, I'm not sure what we need to do.
I know.
But Matt, you know, there has been recently outrageous stories of men who have competed in women's competition, and they've become winners, and they've also broke world records. Tell us about the updated story of this man who competed in the women's powerlifting contest, supposedly broke 3 world records and placed number 1, but some new developments have happened.
Yeah, a man who calls himself Mary Gregory broke, as you just crushed, a number of world records. And as a former powerlifting competitor myself in high school, I can tell you that the disparity between the strength of biological men and the strength of biological women, there are some strong women out there, but it's not even close. It's a gulf between the two. He set records in the women's powerlifting that would have remained forever. There's no way that any woman would ever break these. And he was, you know, celebrating and so forth. But the federation overseeing this competition, they have now stripped him of these female records and his medals, saying that they view the competitors based upon not their gender identity, but their gender reality, basically. I'm paraphrasing, but they
finally
said
common sense. Yes. Yeah,
I might add, I would never try to compete against Matt Barber in weightlifting. I would never.
Yeah. You know, the fact of the matter is, I think this person just put down on the application to enter that contest that he was a woman. And so they probably just allowed him in. But then after he smashed these world records and won the competition, he comes out and talks about how he identifies as a woman. And so I think based upon that, and certainly the pushback from competitors, the pushback from people around the country, around the world, ultimately woke up this athletic association
to say,
this is nonsense. Yeah. We have to go by your birth sex.
Women could not never
compete
identify with that.
Here's the quote. It's the RAW, R-A-W, Powerlifting Federation. They said, it was revealed, this is the commissioner, Paul Bossi, said it was revealed that this female lifter was actually a male in the process of becoming a transgender female. Okay, well, that's a misnomer right there. That's impossible. But he did say, our rules and the basis of separating genders for competition are based on physiological classification rather than identification. Boy, that's not politically correct.
Yeah, well, that's a good development. It should happen in all of these other sport competitions where men entered into these competitions and beat the women. Those should all be revoked. So this person's medals were revoked. The breaking of the world records are wiped off, and they're back to where they were before. But H.R. 5, that's the number of it in the House, S-88 in the Senate, so-called the Equality Act, would mandate, Holly, this kind of insanity across the board in sports in every area of our lives. It would require in the place of employment. So, for example, in the place of employment, if you use derogatory language against a person of color, that would be racial discrimination.
Right, and wrong.
And the employer would need to stop you. Now, if you did not refer to somebody in the place of employment regarding their preferred gender, a man wants to be referred to as female, a person wants to be referred to as neither gender, they, believe it or not, they, plural. If you did that, that would be discrimination. This is why this bill is so broad, so bad. I encourage you to go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. You can go to the front page. Right there on the front page, there's an icon regarding this bill. You can also go to lc.org/HR5. and learn more about this bill, make sure the word gets out. The word is getting out. And the more we get this word out about the dangers of this bill, the more likely we can defeat it. But it has to be a full court press, and we need your voice. You can go there and sign the petition. We want to deliver tens and tens of thousands of petitions to members of the U.S. Senate where we can ultimately make some headway to defeat this dangerous bill. LC.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. Call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776, lc.org.